Okay, can go back. So I've only got, you know, 3 minutes to do this, but no, just joking. Doesn't that happen a lot here? The speaker gets the last of the goods. It's okay. Praise the Lord. So there's a, I felt it on my heart to talk about the tabernacle, and there was a lot of talk this morning about the dwelling place and welcoming the Holy Spirit. I think that's really beautiful. And as a worship leader, the tabernacle is something that I have really studied, and I love, and I there's such a beautiful pattern and spiritual reality that I'm sure many of you already know about and have studied. But if you haven't, I just thought it's a really cool thing to get into, and maybe you can do studying on your own since I won't have a whole lot of time. But let's go to Hebrews 8. So I'm not going to start from verse, the whole actually 8, 9, and 10 is an incredible three passages that really outline sort of the Old Testament parallels and the New Testament fulfillments. And a lot of times people give the Old Testament a bit of a bad rap, and you know, it's the law, it's the boring stuff, and we're the new stuff, we're the good stuff. But all throughout the New Testament, and Jesus himself says that the law was not abolished, but it actually was fulfilled. And that doesn't mean that it was like fulfilled in the sense it doesn't matter anymore. It actually, to know the pattern and understand the blueprint of what was, it actually enters us into a deeper and a greater understanding of the reality that is currently. So it's important to understand, it's important to study, it's important to be aware of this Old Testament truth and what it points to today for us to have a greater understanding. So there's a few Greek words I'm going to pull out, but I'm going to start before verse 5. So I'll start in verse 1. Now, the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places. That's a tabernacle truth. You'll see in a minute. In the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. The tent is referring to the tent of meeting that we'll also see in a few minutes, the tabernacle itself. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. So here's verse 5. They serve, so the whole thing, the law and the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, the priests, these serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. I have those in bold up there. For when Moses was about to erect the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern," is another word in bold, "that was shown to you on the mountain. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second." So there's obviously not a perfection within the first demonstration and pattern, but it does point to something greater that we actually need to see both in order to understand, again, the second. So the first word, this picture is really funny, but have you seen this viral trend on Instagram where couples like spend the whole evening on a date and they paint each other, and then at the end they have to show the other person their painting of that person? So this is an example. It's always unfair because often one of the couple is actually an artist, so it's just hilarious the contrast between them. But this is just a joke, but this is one beautiful photo that the husband painted of his wife. there's definitely some likeness, but definitely some not likeness. So this word is, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, but hypodigmati. Maybe Scott knows. Hypodigmati. So the word has four different kind of meanings, but it says a copy, example, model, representation. So the copy reveals the original, but they are not the same. A representation of something greater. And then we can go to Hebrews 9, 23 and 24. Well, again, all of Hebrews 8, 9, and 10 are powerful demonstration of this whole thing, but we're going to just kind of chop it up a bit. But so here we go, verse 23. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things. So this is the hypodigmati word. It was necessary for these copies of the heavenly things. So that's like you're looking at that painting. That's the copy that it's talking about. To be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which is what the original tabernacle was. It was a holy place made with hands. These were the copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. And then it continuously goes more into what Jesus did and how he fulfilled them. But I think this is just such a beautiful picture of how it was a picture, but there is a greater reality that we need to connect both. We need to understand both in order to really have that greater revelation of the person, right? Maybe we've never met her before, and this picture will go, oh, I kind of get a sense of who this person is. But then when you really meet the person, you're like, that all makes sense now. All that craziness. No. Okay, the next word here we had was shadow. So the Greek word is skia. Shadow, figuratively, an outline or foreshadowing. So you see the shadow here behind the person. So imagine you couldn't see the person, you just see an outline, you see the shape. It gives you the shape of something there, but it doesn't have the full essence and substance of what is casting it. And when you meet the person or whatever is casting the shadow, you get the full picture of what it is. And but the shadow, yeah. It's important, but it's not the fullness. So we have to remember that as we do read the Old Testament, that there's a greater reality, a greater fullness and essence and substance that's coming or that is in place spiritually. In Colossians 2:17, we probably all know this stuff, but it's always fun to go back over it. Colossians 4:17. For there is a shadow, the same word skia, or an outline or shape of something, but the substance belongs to Christ. There's a word in that. There's another translation that says, which are the shadow or skia of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And the body is not like us, the body. The word body is soma, and it means the body itself. That's the actual reality itself. The substantial reality in contrast to the shadow. So, the shadow of all things Old Testament, the body of that shadow is Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Like, the Old Testament has so many powerful parallels and realities and truths that translate into what we get to live in and what we get to live through. And it's just incredible to read the Old Testament with the reality of Christ is that body, is that represent, is the fullness, the substance of the Old Testament. He's everywhere. He's everywhere in there. And it says somewhere, if you've read, I think in Matthew, it says, if you've read the Law and the Prophets, you've heard about Jesus, which is cool. It's really amazing. And then we have the last word, which was the pattern word. Who here knits? Or crochets, yes. There was also cross stitching. There's lots of different things. Who's an architect? I feel like there's got to be one person in here. No? No architects. Okay, that's fine. Okay, so tupos is the pattern in conformity to which a thing must be made. Also, an example to be learned from. And then here's the little catchphrase. When the pattern is followed, the intended design takes shape. So here we've got at the bottom a stitch pattern, which I cannot read because I cannot knit. There was a moment in time where I did try when I was, I think, 5 years old. And I don't know if my mom ever kept it, but I made a dishcloth. And in the center of the dishcloth was a hole about this big. I think the hole was bigger than the cloth itself. So that was the end of my knitting career. I'm not very good at following patterns, apparently. So don't follow my example. But Nava, excellent at following patterns, praise God, because she has made these beautiful little turtle crochet things that are so cute, right? You made those. Wow, you guys are amazing. So creative, so cool. So there's a blueprint, there's a pattern, and the Old Testament has many different patterns, and one particularly that I would love to look at later on in another time is the tabernacle, but we don't have a whole time to go there. But right now, the whole point is Let's read the Old Testament. But anyways, okay, Exodus 25, 8 to 9. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That is the purpose of the pattern. The presence of God was in the tabernacle itself. And through all this amazing Christ-fulfilled truths and realities, we actually are able to dwell with God now, which is an incredible truth and miracle and reality that we get to walk in, that we often don't click. We know in theory, but it's the reality is actually very powerful, that you actually dwell with Christ in the Holy of Holies. And for thousands of years, they couldn't. There had to be that priest that would go in, and only him, once a year, to the Holy of Holies. And no one else had access. So according to all that I show you, after the two posts of the tabernacle, or that's actually a Hebrew word, but same word as the Greek, which is the pattern of the tabernacle. So the tabernacle was a blueprint, a pattern of a heavenly reality. So there's a picture of the tabernacle. It's pretty cool. There would have been camps all around as well of the people. So who's ever studied or knows anything about the tabernacle? I'm sure many people. Yes, a few people. Yes, good, good, good. So does anyone know that what that first little, those curtains are at the front? What was that called? The gate? The gate. Glory. Oh, cool. Well, it's the gate to get in. You have to go through that gate. There was not open. It wasn't open all around, like easily accessible. There was one entrance. That was the east. Was it the east gate? I think that was. Anyways, the entrance. Okay. So here we have a verse that I forgot to put. Whoops. What it actually is, but I think it's Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 something. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, so that was. The holiest place is the farthest. There's two in that little tent in there. There's actually two caverns, and one is the holy place. The second one is the Holy of Holies. So the whole tent there is the holy places. So we have confidence, and that would have been mind-boggling to any Jewish person listening at the time, because nobody had access to those places before. By the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain. So back again here, this is a, oh, I forgot I have this pointer. This is the curtain that leads in there. So people could come to this, but only the priest could come here, and only the high priest could go in here once a year. So by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that's a whole other story. We're going to get there later another time, but the curtain is amazing. That is through his flesh. And since we have the great high priest, he is Christ, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, which would be by the blood, which was the first here. We'll cover that later again. To the this is the bronze altar. And then this is the lave, which is the water. So here you'll see here, with our hearts sprinkled clean by the blood from an evil conscience on the altar, and our bodies washed with pure water. Whoops, that same water there. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So this whole scripture is Hebrews 10, but the whole passage is really referring to this truth of a pattern that was already established in the earthly realms. And then the reality is that it's been spiritually made new, and we've been able to enter into that greater, the body, the greater of the pattern, the shadow, that we've been looking at a shadow for so long, and now we can see the body, which is Christ. Also, I forgot to look at 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 11. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 10, 1. Okay. For I do not want you to be, this is Paul talking, to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all, do these things sound familiar? And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all drank the same spiritual food, and all drank from the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, So historically, there was a literal rock that would follow Israel as they were going through the desert. And here it says that rock was what? It was Christ. And when the rock would get hit, the water would come out, right? There was water that actually gave them life. There was no water in the desert, but Christ was the rock, and the rock was giving them water. So he's there throughout that whole journey. Nevertheless, yeah, with most of them, God was not pleased. Oops, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And now here's this word, tupos, in number six. Now these things took place as examples or as a pattern or a type for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose and up to play. We must not indulge in a sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example or as a pattern, but they were written down for our instruction on which the end of the ages has come. So take heed and do not let temptation take you. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So we look at these Old Testament parallels, and actually they were written down as a pattern or a type or tupos for us, an example to be learned from. So we do need to look to them to understand our reality now in a better way as we connect with Christ. And then we have this picture here of it from a different angle. This is from above. So over here we have the gate. And here we have the altar of burnt offerings. Here we have the lave, the laver, which is to wash. This was for the sacrifice. This was for the washing to cleanse the body. Then this is the door into the holy place. We've got here the table of the showbread. Who Jesus is the bread of life. Amen. Come on, guys. This is the menorah. So this was the light inside here. And who is the light of the world? Jesus. And then here we have the altar of incense, which in the Bible, like throughout the Bible, you see incense as reference to prayer and intercession and connection with the Holy Spirit. So this is also integral as well, this prayer that goes up, this communion, this intimacy. And then we get into the next section here, and this is the veil that was 60 feet tall and I believe 12 inches thick. And when Jesus died, it was torn from which direction? Anyone know anyone that's 60 feet tall? No. You do 60 feet? Oh, yeah, no, God, amen. So miraculously, like this was like actually a historical thing that happened. 60 footer, 12 inch curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. Pretty wild. And this is the Holy of Holies, and inside the Holy of Holies there was, oh, this is called the veil, sorry, yeah, the curtain veil, whatever. The Ark of the Covenant, there was a few things inside the ark. There was manna, which represented the spiritual food, right, that the Israelites were able to feed on. And then there was also the rod of Aaron, his staff. And then there was one more thing. It was the mercy seat, I think, was in there as well. Yes, which was like the actual presence. And the tablets, yes. I knew there was one more thing. The commandments. And do you guys remember where it says that the commandments were actually written on our heart now? They're no longer written on tablets, but they've been written on our hearts as we've come into the God Christ. So all these things, this journey has, we've actually walked, we're walking through it as we walk with the Lord. And you can microscope it even more to a worship service or a time in your own heart where you're connecting with the Lord and you're entering into the presence. And Hebrews, when it talks about that, let us draw near with a true heart. There is a pattern that we can follow to enter into the Lord's presence in a deeper, more fulfilling, and transforming way. And if we just kind of willy-nilly come into a church service thinking, oh, I'll just maybe have a moment with the Lord, or maybe not, I don't really know, but you haven't really thought or prepared your heart. Even with communion, we were talking this morning about preparing your heart for communion. There is a pattern that the Lord has established and that we can follow that will actually enhance and increase our ability to connect and dwell with the Holy Spirit and with God Himself. And a lot of it has been done as we've already moved these through these steps of salvation. But when we microscope it into a worship time of your own time of connecting with the Lord, there's this pattern that we can actually follow and connect into that will just, it's not really for the Lord, it's for us, right? It's for us to have that revelation and to have an increase of understanding of what He has done and what actually is accessible to us. Because again, if we just willy-nilly come in and we think nothing, we just, I'll have a worship song here today. Or if you're going into your own worship time and you just sit there and maybe fall asleep, or you don't really have like a thought process to follow, or an example or a pattern that actually God gave us hundreds and thousands of years ago, then I think you're missing out. Dun-dun-dun-dun, the end. Praise the Lord. Anyways, with this, there is so much more to talk about with all the different things, but that's for another time. I pray that you would also, your own self, look into this pattern. It's incredibly powerful, and especially for preparing yourself to come into the congregational time of entering into the Holy of Holies together. You have a question? Hungry for the Lord. Okay. Amen. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just take a moment to just, Lord, we thank you so much that you are Christ. You are the final level in this sense of that you are the one who's made a way for us to enter the realities of the kingdom of heaven that have been shown in part all these years. And we have entrance and access because of you. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done on that cross, Lord, as you made the ultimate sacrifice at the altar for us, that we can enter into the next step, Lord. And then the baptism, Lord, like we enter into that cleansing and that separation of sin, Lord. We thank you for that next phase. And we just want to come into reckoning and alignment with the truths of heaven in our own hearts, Lord, as you show us things that we need to lay on that altar to be burned up, even in this moment, in a reckoning of looking back to our baptism and recognizing places that were cut off from Pharaoh's rule and reign because of the water and because of your power through the water, that we can reckon those truths into our reality right now, the heavenly realities inside of our human hearts as we're walking and wandering through this wilderness of life, Lord. I thank you for the next phase, Lord, going into the holy place. We thank you that you are the bread of life. You said that no man can survive on bread alone, but we need the bread of heaven, and that's you. I thank you, Jesus, that you sustain us. Just like we heard this morning from the testimony of Jonathan, there's sustaining in the physical realities, or there's a spiritual reality that is greater and is better and more true, that you sustain us. Thank you that you are the light of the world, Lord. And when there's darkness around, spiritually, the reality is that we are not in a dark place. That there is, yeah, that you dwell in unapproachable light. That's who you are, that darkness cannot come near you. And so as we walk into dark places, or we feel that there's dark parts in our hearts, that we would shine that menorah, Lord, the light of Christ into those areas, that you would light them up, Lord. Expose those things that need to be exposed. And also, as we go into places, Lord, that we would be able to bring that light, that supernatural presence, Lord, wherever we go, that people would be aware. There's so many stories I could share of just moments where you can see it, like here, physically, the reality of heaven when the light touches the darkness. It is incredible, and I pray that we would connect to that on a deeper level today, but also this week coming. And we thank you for the altar of the incense, Lord, the perfume that is rising up. We just pray that we would connect into prayer, Lord, intercession, into that presence where we can pray and expect things to change, that there would be a power behind our prayers because we're entering into this reality, Lord Jesus, that you are our intercessor and that we are not doing this alone. And Lord, we just again praise you for that veil being torn. We didn't deserve it. It wasn't anything on us. We didn't tear it. Like, I'm not very strong. I can't even open a pickle jar. But you were able to tear a 60-footer veil from top to bottom. And that was a real, real thing that happened, Lord. Just, I pray for that revelation in our hearts, a deeper understanding of the access that we have because of your blood. And Lord, as we take that step further into the Holy of Holies, we thank you for the presence, for your presence. Not on anything that we've done do we deserve to be there, but you did it for us. Thank you for the love that you have for us. I pray for a greater revelation. Lord, open our eyes. Open our ears, that we'd be able to have the spiritual manna, Lord, that fulfills us and sustains us for this walk as we move forward into the kingdom of darkness, bringing your kingdom of light. We thank you for the covenant that was now written on our hearts. Holy Spirit, you give us deep understanding of right and wrong. Lord, I pray that you would just increase our ability to discern what is not of you, what is of you. That we would love what you love, we would hate what you hate. That we wouldn't use the grace in vain, but we would be walking as a holy people. Not because of ourselves, only because of you. Be holy as I am holy. Let us love what you love and hate what you hate. In that presence, Lord, that's what comes. That's what comes. Knowing you, loving you. I pray our awareness, like we sang this morning, let us become more aware of your presence. It's here. You are here. And we just forget, or we just walk by you sometimes. Lord, stir it up in our hearts again, Lord, a passion for your name. I pray if anyone has lacked courage to enter this Holy of Holies because of fear, because of unworthiness or shame, I just pray that those things would fall off right now in the name of Jesus. That there would be a boldness to enter the mercy seat and to grab hold of grace in times of need. I pray you'd remind us of the keys of thanksgiving and praise in moments when we're overwhelmed by complaining or ungratefulness or worry or fear, anxiety, that the keys of thankfulness and praise to enter those gates would come upon us in Jesus' name, that we'd be able to unlock the presence through thankfulness, Lord. Remembering what you've done, remembering who you are, remembering your character, that you're a good God, that you're awesome in power, awesome in love, awesome in holiness, awesome in faithfulness. We learned these in camp this week. Thank you, Jesus. You'll see signs all around. You are so good, Lord. Thank you, God.